We are live from Gather at Deer District in Milwaukee, site of Game 6 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. The Bucks have an opportunity to clinch their first title in 50 years with a win. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols. I'm here with Mr. Richard Jefferson, who has been to the NBA Finals four times as a player and now is working on his media reps of how many times
three.
In the Finals.
Three.
Kendrick Perkins, five times in the Finals as an NBA player. And Kendrick, you decided to go with the more understated jewelry today, but Richard's decided to come and show off. What you got there, Richard?
Yeah, show the world, RJ. What's wrong? What's the problem?
I just don't like you. I just wake up in the morning and I'm just like,
That's perfectly fine.
It's a separate issue. But look at that.
Like, show us
Turn the other
come on,
side.
Man.
Oh, my bad.
You don't wear ring. It. No, so, joking. I mean, how many diamonds are on that thing?
I counted, and at least one.
Okay. You don't wear something that flashy and then be embarrassed about was? Showing
no,
it
no,
off.
It's not even that. It's just a subtle thing. I don't like to talk about it.
Uh-huh.
Perk does. I asked Perk. I was like, hey, Perk, man, it's the finals closeout. You want to bring out rings? He's like, okay, cool. He doesn't show up with it. Thanks, Perk.
Well, we will see if this turns out to be a closing game of the NBA Finals. But first, let's revisit what happened in Game 5. Man, guys, what a game. The Suns dominating the first quarter. They jumped up to a 16-point lead, but the Bucks storming back, eventually won it after that clutch steal you've seen so many times in the last 48 hours. Jrue Holiday and the alley-oop to Giannis. The Bucks now have won three straight in these Finals. They are just the fourth team in Finals history to win three straight after trailing 2-0. So, Perk, how do the Suns set about recovering after that tough last-second loss in Game 5?
Well, obviously, they have to get this win on the road, right? So you want to come out and get out to a good start like they did in Game 5. You want to take the crowd, the energy out of the arena. Mm-hmm. But secondly, the Suns got to get back to being disciplined, right? They've been doing too many dumb things. Like, you look at Devin Booker with his fouls. You look at CP3 with his turnovers. Even Jay Crowder on one play late in the fourth quarter where he had a foul, where he fouled Chris Middleton on the jump shot. Like, they have to stay away from those things. And they have to find a way for DeAndre Ayton to impose his will, right? And like, he had 20-10. And I was talking with Richard off air, and it was just like, it wasn't impactful.
Mm-hmm.
Like he has to impose his will. And when I'm watching him play defense on Giannis, it's like he's playing defense in college. Both hands up, trying to slide his feet, not trying to get in foul trouble. You have to make it difficult. Like, don't let him catch the ball so easy. Try mixing it up, fronting them, get physical with them. Make the refs call that call. I think, they know that it's going to be a physical game. And usually when it gets to the finals, the referees let you battle it out, as we've seen some of the fouls that were questionable, right, with Devin Booker.
Well, look, I think the Suns can recover, but it's more about what the Suns beating themselves. Like, they hadn't really done that all postseason. And, you look at Game 4 and just a blown opportunity in the NBA Finals. You might get one extra chance if you blow an opportunity. But ultimately, I think the Suns just have to slow down a little bit, figure out what they want to do. But if they can't use the exact same formula that they had been using all postseason, that is move the ball, 0.5 seconds, everyone touching, everyone contributing. And then in the fourth quarter, we're going to space, we're going to have guys knock down shots, and then Chris Paul is going to get to his elbow. Chris Paul is going to dominate. Then Devin Booker is going to hit big shots. If they can't get back to that formula, and the reason why, and the last thing I'll say is the reason why people were picking Phoenix, some of it was the Giannis injury, but a lot of it had to do with this. The Phoenix Suns played the best brand of basketball, but the Milwaukee Bucks are probably a better basketball team, as in more talent. But the Milwaukee Bucks are playing very, very good. So when the more talented team is playing well, it becomes, three straight.
I'm not sure, Mr. Suns and Six, you want to be bringing up pre-finals predictions.
It's fine. My predictions in the beginning that I've stuck with were all based off Giannis's health
now
the way the Suns have been playing. Well, they're not playing the same way, especially since Game 3 started, than they were the whole postseason. So when the facts change, so do my opinions.
There you go. Well, look, part of it is playing well, but playing well for long enough, right? Because we saw in Game 4, the Suns were up by 9 in the fourth quarter and could not hang on. We saw, of course, what happened in Game 5. They were up by 16. 15. Now, that was early in the game, and being up by double digits doesn't mean what it used to in the NBA, but still, clearly they were in position to hold on. They had the ball at the end of the game. They had the advantage on the scoreboard, and they still lost it, and therefore the Bucks claimed that game. And Perk, I got to follow up with you a little bit, right? Because if you're DeAndre Ayton, if you're Devin Booker, you said that he's got to be more aggressive and physical, but he also can't get into foul trouble. How do you walk that line as a big man? Because he did have that experience in Game 3 where him being on the bench is part of the reason why they had so many problems.
Well, if you watch the game and you look at some of Giannis' post-touches, his catches, right, they're so easy. Like, they're able just to lob it in there. He's catching in one hand. Like, he's not making the impact. Like, he's not doing his work early. He's waiting for Giannis to catch the ball down, all of a sudden he's playing on his heels. Instead of him being aggressive, meeting Giannis early, not letting Giannis get to his spot. And then that college defense, right? That defensive stance, holding two hands in the air, trying to move your feet, you're already at a disadvantage guarding Giannis Antetokounmpo, especially when he gets to sidestepping and you're rolling and scooping the ball up under you for layups. Like, you're dead bird tall grass.
We just saw Giannis, by the way, that was from practice today.
Where's the dead bird grass?
I mean, you just let it register in that dome head of yours for a minute, and then you can understand.
While Richard's thinking, I was just going to note that Giannis had ice packs on both knees when you just saw him at practice today, but that is common, and we see a lot of guys do that in the off days. Richard's going to keep thinking.
I have no idea what that means. I'm like dead tall. Dead bird in tall grass.
Just let it sit.
I'm sorry. Not.
I'm going to move on to Team USA. They took care of business against Spain in their exhibition game last night. New addition to the team, Keldon Johnson, had 15 points, guys, in the win. So, Richard, as someone who has competed in the Olympics yourself, they are now on the road to Tokyo. What is it that they need to do now that these games count to sort of get more of that unity that we didn't see in some of these exhibition games, or get more of a game plan together where they know exactly what they are doing? We didn't have the run-up to the Olympics the way we've had in previous years. They weren't able to have a full training camp with COVID and the schedule adjusted. So what do you think is most important for them to do next as they launch this Tokyo leg of this journey?
I think continue to work on their chemistry. When you get an opportunity to play a couple of games and then you get a chance because of an injury to Kevin Love, because of COVID, you get an opportunity to replace two guys. So you're like, what do we need? Okay, right. We might need more of a traditional big. Okay, well, we're going to have 13 superstars on this team. Mm-hmm. We might need a guy that might not play, that can just understand his role. And I think that's where Keldon Johnson played great. To me, if their chemistry is where it needs to be, if they are together pushing in the same direction, then they're unbeatable. But if they have guys that are mad that they played 15 minutes, or they guys that might not be in the rotation, you can't play 14 guys all the minutes that they want. So adding a JaVale McGee, adding a Keldon Johnson, that allows you to be like, hey, guys, you guys are only here if we need you, right? And I think that just makes it more of a team. And if they can become a team, they're not going to face against a more talented team, a more athletic team, or a deeper team. The only issue they could possibly have is a lack of chemistry. So you add two guys that should contribute to the chemistry.
Well, you know, the first thing is that they got out of Las Vegas. All right? Right. That's the first thing without diving into details. But I'm not even concerned anymore. I think they've been playing possum. I really don't think that they took the expedition games real seriously. I thought that they're waiting to get to Tokyo to actually start the real action. And we saw that against Spain, just a little sample size. They turned it up on the defensive end. Like, you saw them getting deflections, getting out in transition, getting easy buckets. You saw them tied on the string, protecting the paint. Jason Tatum and Kevin Durant at one point were actually anchoring the defense and rebounding at a high level. So when I watched them play against Spain, who's ranked number 2 in the world, who has been together, the Casal brothers, along with Ricky Rubio, all their veteran experience, and I watched them walk down a double-digit lead like it was nothing, I was like, oh, okay, they good.
Yeah, but you don't always want to be in that position.
I didn't say they was.
I know you said they're playing a little possum, but right now with a short amount of time, and this is where they're like, are you worried? It's like, well, no, they can ramp it up. You just don't always want to put yourself in a position to have to ramp it up.
I'm not sure they're playing possum. I think those losses were real losses. If they could have won them, they would have. But I do think that it is an incremental process, for sure. Yeah. And they're going to get, remember, more guys coming in as well. You're going to have Devin Booker. You're going to have Jrue Holiday. You're going to have Chris Middleton. As we showed you in that previous graphic, they're all about to join the team. You know, when they get done with a little thing called the NBA Finals, which, in fact, how about this for a segue, gentlemen? We are going to talk to both of those guys, Chris Middleton and Devin Booker, about Team USA and about that little thing called the NBA Finals.
There you go.
Here is Chris at practice. Again, moments
Money
ago.
Money-making Middleton.
He's going to come off that court and chat with
name.
Us. Expectations for the Bucks crowd in Game 6 for the team and so much more. And we now welcome Chris Middleton into the show on a very important day, the day before a possible clinching game of the NBA Finals. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, Chris, this is your eighth season with the Bucks. This is by far the furthest you guys have gotten as a group. You are one win away from an NBA title. What do you think was the biggest ingredient in the change and shift in the team this season that you were able to get this far?
I would say just the guys that we added into the locker room. Bobby Portis has been huge for us. PJ Tucker has been huge. Brent Forrest, he hasn't played that much this season, I mean this series. But, you know, overall, the guys that we added, they just gave us so much firepower, so much, you know, different lineups we could throw out there. And then also experience with it.
Yeah, that Jrue Holiday guy, I think, was pretty good for you in the last game. So that would certainly follow.
Yeah, I don't know how, you know, Jrue's been so big for us. It seems like he's been playing with us for a couple years. Now, I can't believe I forgot that guy. But, you know, he's been huge for us, definitely, especially late in games with defensive plays. You know, him knocking down shots the other night for us in that first half that got us going. Jrue's been incredible.
Chris. Big perk here. Look, I've been trying to tell the world about you for the longest, right? And I think in this postseason, the way you have stepped up when it matters the most in the crucial moments in the fourth quarter, you have delivered in great fashion. Do you feel like you have silenced the critics this postseason?
I don't worry about them too much, man. You know, I feel like I've been doing, you know, great things for a long time. You know, everybody goes through, you know, failures and whatnot. And I've gone through my share of them. But I feel like for the most part, I've had a successful career. And now this year, you know, I'm just trying to put a stamp on everything. You know, I knew that we had a great chance coming to the season to be in this position to win a championship. So it's just been all in for me, all in for everybody, no matter, you know, how I perform. It's all about trying to win.
Well, Chris, I feel like you and I are friends right now because I met your mom, I met your fam, wonderful family. And so I gave you a nickname, right? Money Making Middleton. Tell me if you approve of that.
I approve of it. For some reason, everything with money, cash, everything sticks. So
I'll take it right now. Stop hating. Go ahead.
No, look, it's fine. My thing is, I wanted to ask you, Richard Jefferson here. You know, I wanted to know this. Take us through the year before and then the year after that he was able to Giannis was able to re-sign that contract. What was it like kind of before, and what was it like this season knowing that that was behind and everybody was pushing in the same direction?
It was the same, honestly. I didn't think about it too much. I didn't lose sleep, didn't feel pressure for him, you know, re-signing or leaving. You know, he's a guy that we've been through a lot together. I knew he wanted to build something special here. Right now, we definitely have a chance to do that. So knowing him, knowing the type of person he is, I didn't worry about it too much. I know that's my guy, that's my brother. Whatever he decided to do, I was going to support him 100%. I just wanted him to be happy, but I'm definitely happy he stayed.
Hey, Chris, look, we seen some wild crowds, right, especially in Phoenix, with them counting money, doing all the whatever extra stuff while Giannis at the free throw line. How do you expect the Milwaukee crowd to respond tomorrow night?
Man, I can't wait to see this crowd tomorrow. Even outside, I've been seeing the pictures and the videos of Deer District. Even when we're away, they're out there packed. Even here, they're packed when we're away. So I can only imagine what it's going to be like in here tomorrow. I know I can speak for all of us on this that we can't wait to be and playing in front of them tomorrow night.
Well, Chris, first of all, I'm glad you said you weren't nervous about Giannis not signing that Supermax. We had Bucks co-owner Mark Lazary on the show the other day. He said he was extremely nervous. So he was nervous for you, which is good because that got taken care of. I do want to just switch gears a little bit to Team USA because after these finals, you, Jrue Holiday, Devin Booker will be joining them. Team USA did beat Spain in its final exhibition game before heading off to Tokyo. What do you think about this quick turnaround, especially that we know for sure this finals is going to 6 games, it might even go to 7 games, and you guys got to then hightail it to Japan and play games that really matter for this Olympic medal?
Yeah, I love it. You know, I think the biggest thing is that, you know, we don't have to get out of shape and then try to find a way to get back in shape.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's the best part of all. The worst part is probably the flight, but I think we're all excited. I'm definitely excited to be part of USA, be an Olympian, and fight for gold for sure.
What made you want to do it? Because that was supposedly going to be the tricky part, is getting guys who competed all the way through the finals to actually go join the Olympic team. And yet there are three of you, which is definitely more than Team USA expected.
No, I mean, for me, you know, it's just a chance to play for Team USA. I did, you know, for the World Cup, we had a disappointing finish. Part of that is, to, you know, to make up for that. And then another part of it is, like I said, is to be an Olympian and represent your country. I think that's one of the biggest things, the best things you could do in your basketball or professional career. So it's something that I had to take advantage of, definitely.
And I just want to point out, you are such a good guy. That was not a dig at Richard Jefferson, who had his own disappointing Olympic finish in 2004.
Oh, I'll, no. Nah. First of all, our manager, Naila, all she does is dig, yeah. Dig at me nonstop. That's all she does.
You can't talk about her. That's my girl.
Yeah, I know. You can't talk. That's all she. I'm used to that. I'm used to that.
I'm just saying that Chris Middleton is going to avenge his disappointing international loss. And you, on the other hand, were just
Naila needs a gold medalist on her roster, and like I failed her, and Chris is going to get it done.
We all need one.
Well, Chris, we wish you so much luck in game 6 tomorrow night. We wish you luck in the Olympics, but we'll certainly talk to you before then. Take a deep breath. You're playing for an NBA championship tomorrow.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
So much fun. All right, coming up, in honor of Drew to Giannis in game 5, we're going to count down the best playoff alley-oops ever. Richard already knows what he wants to see at number 1.
Oh, already.
We'll see if it's there. Keep it locked. Friends, we are in Milwaukee indeed. Game 6 of the finals getting played tomorrow night, 9 Eastern on ABC. Will the Bucks win a title tomorrow? Or will the Suns force a game 7? Woo! All right, you've seen this. We're going to show it again because it's just that good. Drew Holiday to Giannis, the epic alley-oop from game 5. Priceless.
Even Bron was like, what on earth?
Priceless, right? So it inspired us to run it back. The best alley-oops in playoff history. We got a pair of Vince Carter oops in 2007 to go by. Look at this.
Oh. Over the top, too?
Much like what we're seeing in.
Yeah, whew. He was a different animal.
Yeah, just light work.
There's going to be a lot of people that are upset at the 5. I feel like there's going to be a lot of rivalry. Oh, we could have done
this
one.
Well, I don't know, but number 4, Michael Jordan, 92 off the inbound.
Oh.
So if Jordan's 4, you can't complain about yourself being Vince Carter.
I'm not talking about Vince complaining. I'm talking about fans. I'm talking about.
Oh, this is. Woo.
I mean, anytime it's a dark skinned brother, I mean.
This was the Shrug game or after the Shrug game, producer Steve?
He made us Vogue again.
Second half of that Shrug game. All right, best alley-oops ever. Number 3, Mr. LeBron James in 2008.
This wasn't even the series that he blew in Gilbert's ear.
Not even that one.
Gilbert.
Oh!
If you miss these free throws, Gilbert,
just the range, though, on his arm. I mean, how hard is that? Cock him back that far?
There's 3 that can do it.
Right.
Giannis is one of them.
We've seen Vince Carter. Peyton DeKemp in 92.
Bring back the Sonics.
Y'all, please.
Bring back the Sonics.
I could really use a road trip to Seattle.
Bring back the Sonics. Bring back the Sonics.
Did you get Seattle perk?
I did, though.
I didn't remember.
All right, so this is number 2.
This is number one. This is number 1.
Yes.
Number 1.
The timing
Kobe to Shaq, 2000.
Come
on, Scotty.
Woo. The look on Shaq's face is even bigger than the point in the game it was. It just made me so happy.
Down 14.
Scotty has some of that tequila.
Down 14. They were down 14 to start the 4th. And yeah, he asked if you had some of that tequila. I'm staying away from you. I'm staying out of that.
Let's move on, friends, to Damian Lillard. He woke up to rumors and printed reports of him requesting a trade on Friday. So, you know, he addressed it in his media availability. Take a listen.
I woke up to those reports. You know, a lot of people reaching out to me. But it's not true. You know, I'll start off the rip and say it's not true. I said the last time I spoke to you guys that a lot of things are being said, and you know, it hasn't come from me. So number one is it's not true. And secondly, I'll also say that I haven't made any firm decision on, you know, what my future will be. So there's really no need for anybody else to speak for me or report this or report that. You know, if there's something to be said, as I said the last time, I'll speak directly with my team and with Neil. So, you know, that's that.
So interesting perk from Dame, because, look, he says, that's not true. I did not request a trade. That has not happened in the past couple days. But he also said, I'm still deciding what my future will be. What was your reaction to that?
He handled it like he was supposed to handle it. He's saying that I haven't requested a trade, but I'm not saying I'm standing pulling either. That's putting ownership on the front office to make moves. And what I think Dame is going to do, and I told y'all this time and time again, is that he's going to sit back and evaluate what happens in the offseason, and as he should.
No, I agree. I think Dame is actually Dame off the drop, like, you know, when he first kind of made the request for the coach, and then I think after that he was like, okay, I need to handle this a little bit. And it wasn't like he made a request. They asked him who he would like, or are there some names out there? So it wasn't like he's like, I want this person. So I truly think that Dame is in a very good position, and I think he's handling it the right way, just basically saying that, look, I'm not saying that I asked for a trade, so whoever's putting that out there is false. But at the end of the day, there are still some things that I need to see before I'm fully committed.
Rachel, I got a question for you and Richard, right? When you look at this roster, the Portland Trailblazers roster as is, and we saw with a different change far as the head of the snake with a coach, what happened with the Clippers, what happened with Atlanta, right? Putting Chauncey in that role, in that seat, guy that been through the trenches, Dame is trying to get what he got already, knows the meaning of locking in defensively, right? With this roster constructed, do you think this team that Dame has, if they bring everybody back, could come out of the Western Conference next year?
Oh, he said both of us, but no, I don't. But at the end of the day, if you're committed to something, it's not just in that particular moment. It could be like, hey, we're going to make this decision over the next like year or the next season or two. They're not going to be able to retool their whole roster in 5 minutes. They're not going to be able to do it. It's going to take time. It's just a matter of that commitment to the time.
But it is something. It's an interesting point about the change in coach with the same roster, right? And Chauncey being on Ty Lue's staff this past season gave him a front row seat to that. It's also tough to sort of rely only, obviously, it's a results-oriented business. I'm not saying wins and losses aren't important. But if you look at this Blazers team, a couple years ago, they were in the Western Conference Finals. Now, that was certainly a great achievement for that roster in that moment. Were they that different from the roster that was a first-round exit both the year before and the year after? Like, sometimes it's just the way the bracket falls, which is where you end up, and the truth might be somewhere in the middle. So I'm interested in where that is. Also, guys, Dame only controls part of his own destiny here. He's still signed for multiple years, right? So yes, trade him, but they could end up trading him to a rebuilding team.
The only way that they could trade him to a rebuilding team is if they trade him early. If you trade him with the last year left on his contract, teams might not want to give him up.
Of course, that's what I mean. But he's still got, I think, our researcher, Michael Schwartz, I think it's 3 years,
Can I say this for everybody?
3 years that he controls.
Let me say this. I'm not saying that Dame won't play on the Portland Trailblazers this year. What I am saying to you, and I haven't spoken to Dame, this is just me watching basketball for 30 years. Dame will not finish this contract in Portland. I'm 41, right? Okay. Dame will not finish this contract in Portland. That's my opinion. I feel like he might give him a year, he might give him this, but at the end of the day, this will be the last stretch that Dame plays in Portland.
Like that wasn't like nothing hot to put out there.
I'm not saying everybody it was over the top.
That's not that great to hear.
We're talking about right now in the moment.
It doesn't matter. The clock has started.
He wants to win right now.
My larger point is that just, quote, requesting a trade does not mean that he's going to get to a contender. I know we saw James Harden get to a very specific place by requesting a trade. That does not always happen, right? So if you're the Portland Trailblazers and Damian Lillard wants out and does go what he has said he has not done yet, but does go to the front office and says he wants out, they're going to be looking for the best deal they can get. And that might end up being a rebuilding team willing to push all of its picks and everything in the middle to get a Damian Lillard level player they could never sign in free agency. So I think getting back to this primary issue, getting back to the thing of, hey, did he go request a trade this week or should he in the coming weeks? Mm-hmm. He has to think through, if he decides to request a trade, what that might mean. That doesn't mean he's necessarily going to
this
a contender.
This year, next year, he ain't ending.
But, Rachel, the Trailblazers got to do right by him.
I agree.
This is a guy that's been loyal,
yes.
carried them for the last 9 years. I would think they would do right by him.
There's more pressure to do right by him if he is there, and the fan pressure is on them, too. All right, I do
want
to. I got to move on, guys, because we have some breaking news here. Zach LaVine has been placed in health and safety protocols for Team USA. Will not travel with the team to Tokyo today.
Play well.
They're hopeful that he can join the team later this week. So unlike Bradley Beal, who decided that, hey, when I don't feel well, I'm good. What's going on is that COVID is still a real thing in this country.
I'm not saying it from that standpoint. What I'm saying is that if you look at, again, the NBA bubble and how they were able to curtail this, they should have guys that are quarantined from everybody else.
But that's not what they decided. They did not decide to put these guys in a bubble in Las Vegas. Are living their lives in Las Vegas. Well, the decision. But that might have been part of, look, if they had said to guys who lived, most of whom, not all of them, but most of whom lived through a bubble last summer, and we know Richard from being there, it's pretty restrictive. You're away from your family. It's very contained. There's like 1 square mile you can just walk around. You can only eat certain
foods.
You're inviting people to Team USA, it's hard enough to get a roster of elite players together after this incredibly excruciating year and a half that players have had to go through. Yeah. I'm not sure they could have gotten a team if they said, you got to be in a bubble for 2 weeks.
I agree. I just know Bradley Beal, and this guy has been competing for years. Zach LaVine has been on a tough team in Chicago, and so you got a chance to go out there and be one of the world's best. You might, in hindsight, Zach, would you be in quarantine right now so you wouldn't miss the Olympics?
Right.
Bradley Beal, would you have been in quarantine right now so you didn't miss the Olympics? In hindsight, maybe they need to take a step back so they don't keep losing players and just like, guys, we can't keep this. There's going to be one here, one there.
Well, they're certainly going to be in a bubble or a bubble type of environment in Tokyo, and they are supposed to leave today. So starting from now, they will be in more of a bubble environment. And I always want to be careful, too. It's no one's fault.
The world is open back up.
If you are walking down the block from A to Z, someone can breathe on you in the wrong way. So we know a lot of the players or positives that we've seen in the NBA have been from people who are vaccinated that are breakthrough infections. So again, I want to be very careful. We don't blame anyone who's COVID positive. It happened. It's unfortunate. They decided not to do a strict bubble in Las Vegas. They are walking into a strict bubble now in Tokyo, and hopefully Zach LaVine can rejoin the team. That's certainly what it seems to be that he wants. We will be right back. You can rejoin us here on The Jump. Coming up, Devin Booker is going to join us off of Suns practice. Look at him there.
D-Book.
It's like he can shoot or something. We'll talk about the Suns facing elimination, all those Kobe comparisons, and yes, with him, we will talk about the upcoming Olympics. Stick around for that. So LeBron was courtside in Phoenix for Game 5. Twitter, of course, noticed he's got a bottle of tequila under his chair that the Suns let him bring in. LeBron responded by tweeting, "They let me? Okay, we'll go with that. BYOT, bring your own tequila." Richard, I know that you arrived at the arena for Game 5 at the same time as your friend LeBron James.
Yeah, I saw him. I'm going to be honest. I didn't see the tequila. I saw him pulling out like maybe some wine, but I was more like locked in on Adele. I saw Adele and got a chance to meet
Adele
her.
Was in their group.
She was in the caravan of cars that were showing up. So as far as the tequila,
you were like LeBron. I want to meet Adele.
Good to see you, buddy. He's like, "Hey, Brit." I was like, "Yeah. Congratulations on Space Jam." "Hi, Adele. So nice to meet you." So I'm just honestly a big fan. Streets are waiting for your new album. Just let you know.
Perk, how do you feel that BYOT is fair if you're LeBron James?
I really don't really care about the tequila. I haven't got a bottle yet, so.
Check out the mezcal. The mezcal is
sweet. Right. There you go. I now want to welcome in Sun star Devin Booker to The Jump. Devin, we appreciate you being here with us.
No, thanks for having me.
Well, I wanted to just first off ask you, what is your mindset? This is the first elimination game you guys will be playing in these playoffs where you are the ones who could get eliminated, and it is an NBA Finals. So what is your mindset going into this game?
I mean, we have to do everything at all costs. I feel like we're going to be the desperate team. We want to come out here and, just keep playing the basketball we've been playing and take it up a whole nother level. So, today's the day that we sit back, watch film, and just prepare for the next one.
Hey, D-Book, Big Perk here. I want to ask you a question. When CP3 was traded there from Oklahoma City, did y'all visualize this moment of being in the finals? Like, was this one of the goals for y'all to get to this point this early?
I mean, it's always the goal to win. You know what I'm saying? There's no other reason to be playing this game other than playing to win. And, you know, I knew what we did in the bubble and the environment and the environment that we formed down there in the bubble with the additions that we made in the offseason. You know, I knew we were going to play in some meaningful basketball games. So, you know, we never put, like, a prize on it. Like, we want to go to the finals this year. It's just been a day-to-day pursuit for real, just each day trying to get better.
Richard Jefferson here. What's going on, Dev? I just wanted to ask you one question. There's been so much talk about, you know, your relationship with Kobe and the Be Legendary. You know, that was one thing as a mentor, but how are you feeling about these kind of Kobe comparisons that you're starting to get where, you know, you see the numbers and you see your performances? How do you kind of feel about that?
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it much. I know it's something that everybody has going on right now, and, you know, I didn't make that comparison myself, and, you know, I just leave it at what he's done for me as a mentor and the advice that he's left me with, you know. So I try to take bits and pieces of his mentality and his approach, but, you know, I should never be compared to Kobe Bryant.
Well, look, Devin, if other people are putting you in that same sentence, and you certainly have never done that, but if other people are, it can only be a good thing. It's not a bad thing. So congratulations on even having that be something that's a thought crossing people's mind. I also want to get you on your defense, though, because you come into this league, everyone talks about your scoring potential, what you can do as a leader of a team. But your defense has improved so much every year in the NBA. And if we look at this series, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday have shot a combined 11 for 37, shooting about 30% when they're defended by you. What are you doing out there that has been so successful? And how important has it been to you over recent seasons to make sure this was a bigger part of your game?
Well, you know, I always say, especially with this team that we have here, that we want to hang our hats on the defense. And, you know, we don't want to make it a making and missing determine if we win basketball games. So, you know, something that we held our hat on this whole season, and, you know, I take a lot of pride in it, and we do as a team also. And, you know, defense is also a team concept. You know, you have to have five guys, actually everybody on the same page, including coaching staff, players. You know, you have to follow a game plan. So, you know, when you're struggling, you know, when you're a struggling team trying to figure it out, you know, them defensive reputations will come on you. But just knowing the bigger picture and knowing what I'm trying to compete towards every day.
D-Book, I know you write, like, right in the thick of things for us with the NBA Finals, but you also is a part of Team USA. I wanted to get, what's your mindset like for us, the transition from going straight from the finals to having to fly to Tokyo and participate and play a major role in the Olympics for Team USA?
I said just maintaining this level, you know, playing the highest level of basketball. You know, this is what I play the game for, so, you know, it's a really exciting time. You know, the chances I've got to participate with the select team and even just be in the gym with those caliber of guys, those caliber of coaches, you know, it feels good. You know, it's what you want to be around.
Now, I when I say residual effect, I know it's not necessarily affecting your play because you've been playing outstanding, but no one's 100% in this finals once you get to this point. But how is the nose feeling? Is that anything that you even concerned about, that you think about? Anytime it gets taffed, we can see the look on your face, but how's it feeling?
Nah, it feels fine, man. The nose is back normal. Well, I don't know if it's completely straight yet, but it's back normal feeling. But like you said, man, everybody's dealing with something right now. It's that time of year. You just have to dig in deep.
Look, Devin, Suns fans think you look just great. I know your girl thinks you look fine. So really, I don't think you have anything to be worried about in that department. I also know that you've been pulling up to some of these games at home in Phoenix in some pretty sweet rides. Are you bringing the Chevy Impala back for Game 7 if we get there? Because that does seem to be the good luck car.
Which year?
Which year? Ooh.
Excuse me.
I mean, the one with the gold dates.
I'm just wondering. I'm an Impala fan. I'm a Chevy guy.
All right. Well, we've seen a black one, I think, and a gold one, right? Is that the repertoire, or are there more?
There's a couple of them.
Here's what I know. When we get to a game seven, if we get to a game seven, you will be arriving in style both off and on the court. Devin, thank you so much for your time. Good luck tomorrow.
I appreciate you guys for having me.
Hey, if you got a lot, you got a lot. I sat down with Chris Paul ahead of Game 5 as well. We will play back some of that and discuss what the Suns need out of him to pick up the win and force a Game 7. The Jump will be right back. Welcome back to The Jump. I had the opportunity to talk to Chris Paul about this series. Take a look.
How scrappy a team can we expect out there on the court?
Very, very. At this point of the season, there's no need to save anything. You got to leave it all out there on the court. You got to have that trust, and we didn't did it all season long.
In the locker room right after game four, Monty gave a little speech to you guys.
Ever since I've been here, we talked about everything you want is on the other side of hard. This is hard. This is freaking hard. So you got to stick together. That's the deal. All right, let's bring it in.
To have someone who knows you that well, not just knows where you started, but you two remain close even after you weren't working together anymore. Does that make sharing this moment together special to be here in this time?
Tell you the truth, it does make it special to share it, knowing what, you know, we've both been through, especially him. But that's not gonna win it for us. You know, tell you the truth, all that's good and well, all the relationships, all the, you know, good feel good stories with our team is all good and well, but that's not gonna win the game for us. At the end of the day, I always say nobody cares about your story unless you win it.
The man says nobody cares unless you win it. So, Richard, following that, what do the Suns need out of Chris Paul for them to win Game 6 and get back to a Game 7 in Phoenix?
They need to follow that same formula they've been using all postseason and really all season long. Get everybody involved early.
But from him?
Yeah, from him. He's got to get everybody involved early, and then he's got to take over late or at least put his teammates in a position. I know Devin Booker has been doing that, but the reason why they got there is because he was dominant in the fourth quarter. He was dominant in crunch time. Mm-hmm. If he can't continue doing that, I don't think that they can win this. But if he can do that, I think that's the formula for Game 6.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily about the X's and O's. I think it's more so about CP3 got to find his swagger. He has to find his tenacity again, his will, his sense of urgency. He have to remember he's the leader of this team. And right now you look at guys like DeAndre Ayton who came out publicly and told him, hey, you're the best thing that happened to my career. So he's watching CP3 body language. And to be honest, I saw him on one possession during game five, where he said, I'm back. And really, he's not. I'm looking at his body language. I'm looking at his energy. And it's not the CP3 that this Phoenix Suns team needs.
Well,
Phoenix Suns team needs.
Look, in terms of want to, no one's ever wanted to win, maybe more so than Chris Paul. He's one of the most competitive players we've ever seen come through the NBA. The question is, given everything around him and the sort of tenacity of this Bucks team, can he win this game for them? We will find out. That's why they play the games, I heard one of our former coworkers say. Thank you, Chris Middleton. Thank you, Devin Booker. Thanks to these guys. We will see you back tomorrow.
One of the men here are wearing makeup.